Naram Chaivo Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudiraye Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nandagopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Hare Krishna. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 44, entitled Killing of Kamsa, Verse 8 through 13. We'll be reading text 8. Kva Vajrasara Sarangau Mallau Shailendra Sannibhau Kva Chati Sukumarangau Kishorau Napta Yauvanau Kva Vajrasara Sarvangau Mallau Shailendra Sannibhau Kva Chati Sukumarangau Kishorau Napta Yauvanau Kva Vajrasara Sarvangau Mallau Shailendra Sannibhau Kva Chati Sukumarangau Kishorau Napta Yauvanau Sarvanga Kwa, where on the one hand, Vajra of lightning, Sara, with the strength, Sarva, all, Angav, whose limbs, Mallav, two wrestlers, Shaila, mountains, Indra, like the chief, Sannibhav, whose appearance, Kva, where, Cha, and on the other hand, Ati, very, Sukumara, tender, Angav, whose limbs, Kishorav, two youths, Naapta, not having yet attained, Yauvanav, their maturity. Translation by Disciples of Srila Prabhupada. What comparison can there be between these two professional wrestlers with limbs as strong as lightning bolts and bodies resembling mighty mountains, and these two young immature boys with exceedingly tender limbs? Text 9. Religious principles have certainly been violated in this assembly. One should not remain for even a moment in a place where irreligion is flourishing. Text 10. A wise person should not enter an assembly if he knows the participants there are committing acts of impropriety, and if, having entered such an assembly, he fails to speak the truth, speaks falsely, or pleads ignorance, he will certainly incur sin. Text 11. Just see the lotus face of Krishna as he darts around his foe. That face, covered with drops of perspiration brought on by the strenuous fight, resembles a lotus covered with dew. Text 12. Don't you see the face of Lord Balram with its eyes copper red from his anger toward Mushtika, and its beauty enhanced by his laughter and his absorption in the fight? Text 13. How pious are the tracts of land in Vraja, for there the primeval personality of Godhead, disguising himself with human traits, wanders about, enacting his many pastimes. Adorned with wonderfully variegated forest garlands, he whose feet are worshipped by Lord Shiva and Goddess Rama vibrates his flute as he tends the cows in the company of Balram. Purport. In this verse, the devoted ladies in the audience point out the difference between Mathura and Vrindavan. They want to indicate that in Vrindavan, Krishna simply enjoys with his girlfriends and boyfriends, whereas here in Mathura, the Lord is subjected to harassment by the bullying tactics of professional wrestlers. Thus, the ladies are condemning the city of Mathura because of their pain at seeing Krishna in what they consider an unfair wrestling match. Of course, Mathura is also one of Lord's eternal abodes, but here the women in the assembly express their love in a critical mood. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namanobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Mitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrushabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Shesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Krupa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So, before we start, I would like to seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas so that I can make an attempt to speak on this subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this chapter entitled Killing of Kamsa describes killing of the wrestlers Chanur, Mushtik and the other wrestlers Shala, Toshala, and then eventually Kamsa is killed, then Krishna consoles Kamsa's wives, and then ultimately he meets the long awaiting meeting with his parents Devaki and Vasudev. So these are series of verses where the woman, the ladies of Mathura, they are speaking to each other when they see in the arena that now the Krishna and Balram are fighting with Chanur and Mushtik. And wonderfully it is explained here, while conversing they are explaining to each other the beauty of Krishna and Balram. So these are a series of verses, around 10 verses from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. He says these are the 10 verses, from 7 till 16, where the ladies of Mathura, they are speaking to each other, and they are more concerned about Krishna. That is that much affection they have, and from that affection is born compassion for Krishna and Balram, because they have so much of love, because they are also eternal pure devotees of the Lord, and because of the pure love and affection they are unaware of Krishna's and Balram's strength. Therefore this particularly verse, today's verse, it says, what comparison can there be between these two professional wrestlers? Krishna and Balram are just tender boys with tender limbs. There is no comparison. And then they say, certainly there is a dharma. Dharma vyatikrama. Religious principles have certainly been violated here. And one should not remain here, even for a moment, in a place where irreligion is flourishing. So they are condemning in one sense Kamsa, because Kamsa as a king, he was there, and just like king is witnessing, all other are also witnessing the fight. So the previous verse yesterday, they say that, alas, what great irreligious act the wrestlers on the royal assembly are committing. As the king watches the fight between the strong and weak, they also want to see it. So all these verses, they express their compassion, which is born out of affection for Krishna and Balram. And they are expressing in the future verses, in 11th and 12th verses, they explain the beauty of Krishna and Balram's lotus face. And in the 13th verse, it explains the comparison between Mathura and Vrindavan. Most of the demons which were killed in Vrindavan were not directly witnessed by the woman or the gopis in Vrindavan, because most of the pastime of killing the demons were in forest, where only cowherd boys witnessed the killing of the demons, and therefore they had to rely on the words of the cowherd boyfriends of Krishna. But here in Mathura, they are going to witness, they are going to see in front of them the fight. They are seeing actually the fight, the wrestling match between Chanur, Mushtik and Krishna and Balram. So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary, he says that that their prema, the love
which the ladies of Mathura have is mixed with an awareness of Aishwarya Jnan, Krishna's opulences, due to their torment of not having his association. Becoming intolerant to the unjust behavior of the onlookers, the ladies condemn the city of Mathura because of their pain at seeing Krishna in what they consider an unfair wrestling match. Thus they praise Vraja and his inhabitants, and by that criticize Mathura and its residents. So their intense love, it covers the understanding. They are unaware of Krishna's strength, that Krishna will be able to kill these two wrestlers. And therefore, in further commentary, Srila Vishwanatha Chakra Thakur says that materialistic people cannot understand the human form of life that Krishna displays in Vraja. Krishna wanders around engaging in various playful activities according to his own desires. We in Mathura are most unfortunate because we simply persecute him like this, and these people are simply watching. Though Vraja is just a forest, it is most fortunate, for there Krishna played his flute and blissfully engaged in pastimes as Vrajavasis looked on that with bliss. This is the implication of their words. The word Anchadi wanders means wanders is in present tense, Vishwanatha Chakra Thakur says, because the woman thought that Krishna would return to Vraja after visiting their parents, Devaki and Vasudev. So actually the words clearly establish that the pastimes of Krishna are eternal. So this is one of the most important characteristics of Krishna's pastime, that all the pastimes Krishna which performs, Vrindavan, Mathura, Dwarka, they are all eternal pastimes of the Lord. And all these pastimes display how Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. It establishes God as a person, and not just only a person, but he is the supreme personality of Godhead. So we will discuss in short that how that affection which these ladies have for the supreme personality of Godhead, Krishna and Balram, and then we will try to discuss from Chaitanya Charitamrita about the beauty which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, while he is instructing to Sanatana Goswami, he beautifully explains the beauty of Krishna. The effect of Krishna's beauty on the Vraj Gopis and the cowherd boyfriends and practically everyone. And the effect of the flute. Because here it is mentioned that how pious are the tracks of land of Vraja, because Krishna performs his pastimes in Vrindavan. And then the beauty is explained, adorned wonderfully with fresh flower garlands. He is whose feet with worshipped by Shiva and Goddess Rama vibrates his flute as he tends the cows in company of Balram. So the essence of all religious principles is to attain love of God. Prema Pumarto Mahan. So how do you attain that affection? 10th canto, particularly all these pastimes, they display the wonderful reciprocation of the devotees with the supreme personality of Godhead. And we can see that how much love and affection they have for supreme personality of Godhead. So very hope-giving verses. Krishna always gives a lot of hope through his instructions, through his activities. They are all hope-going. So, in 10th canto, while speaking to the Brahmana Padnis, he gives four things. He tells four things one can do in order to attain that love for him. And if we do that four things, we can attain that love for him. And it's not just by the physical proximity with the Supreme Lord that we'll attain love for God, love for him. But if we follow these four principles or four things, then we can attain actually the Supreme Personality's love for him. Krishna himself is telling that it is by hearing about me. Shronanad, darshanad, dhyanan, mayi bhavo anukirtanat. ना तथा सन्निकर्षे न प्रतियता ततो ग्रहण. इट्स ओनली बाय हियरिंग अबाउट मी, सीइंग माई डीडी फॉर्म, मेडिटेटिंग अपॉन मी एंड चैंटिंग माई नेम्स एंड ग्लोरीज, दैट लव फॉर मी डेवलप्स एंड नॉट बाय फिजिकल प्रॉक्सिमिटी. सो दीज लेडीज ऑफ मथुरा, दे हैड नेवर सीन द सुप्रीम पर्सन ऑफ गॉड, बट दे हैड हर्ड अबाउट हिम. That's the power of hearing about the Lord and His pastimes. That one immediately gets attracted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rukmini Devi also never saw Krishna, but she had heard about the Supreme Personality of God. Just by hearing, she was attracted. So that's the power of hearing about Supreme Personality of Godhead, name, fame, qualities, pastimes. Just by hearing, one can attain that love of God. But that hearing should be with faith. Of course, that condition is there. That to the degree we have faith, to that degree is Krishna is revealed. Maybe in form of the deity or maybe in the form of Bhagavat. And the most important, Yuga Dharma, in the form of the holy name. To the degree we have faith, the Naam will be revealed to us. And to the degree we actually have faith in the pastimes, to that degree, the pastimes become relevant and interesting. When the pastimes become interesting, gradually we can relate to those pastimes. That what is the relevance of those pastimes in my life? What are the lessons to be learned from that this particular pastime for me? Otherwise, there are a series of verses we may go on reading, and one may externally go through all the pastime, but it may not make an impact which is supposed to make. That's the effect of Krishna Katha, that just by hearing, seeing the deity form, meditating, Akrura perfected just by meditating throughout the way from coming from Mathura to Vrindavan, he was meditating on Krishna's form. And he went into ecstasy when he arrived in Vrindavan, when he saw the lotus footprints of Krishna. That's the power of meditation of Akrura. He perfected his lives just by meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And through his meditation are born beautiful prayers. There's a whole chapter which we had gone through, prayers of Akrura. Those prayers have born from his heart, from his pure consciousness, because Akrura is a pure devotee of the Lord. Those prayers are born because of intense meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so Krishna's beautiful form. And of course, chanting the names and glories of the Lord. So these are the four ways where one can attain that love of God. The whole purpose of going through all these pastimes is that we develop that love and affection for the Supreme Person of Godhead, which on a normal level, like a conditioned soul, it's very difficult to contemplate or difficult to understand also. That what's this love about we are talking about? It becomes very difficult to relate many times, at least for me, that what's that actually love between the Lord and His devotees. And therefore the entire purpose of Krishna's displaying these different pastimes is to attract us to His pastimes and ultimately enter into those pastimes. And therefore Krishna is compared to an ocean, and in an ocean there are unlimited waves. And the waves never stop in an ocean. And these waves are considered as pastimes. So just like in an ocean, there are unlimited waves, unending waves. They keep on coming one after another. Similarly, the pastimes of the Lord, they are continuous, taking place. Therefore, the characteristics which you saw, that the Krishna's pastimes are continuously going on. They are completely, they are eternal, always taking place. And just by hearing, we can actually participate in it. It is said, by hearing those pastimes, we are actually participating in the pastimes. Provided we have that pure consciousness. But we keep on hearing repeatedly, again and again, then we can actually enter into the pastimes of the Lord. Therefore, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj always says that Vrindavan is not only a place, though it's a place, but is the state of consciousness. So therefore, this understanding is very important. Therefore, in the same chapter, further it is said that the Supreme Lord appeared like a human being to perform his pastimes, imitated the ways of a human society. He enjoyed his cows, cowherd boyfriends, cowherd girlfriends with his beauty. Ramayan Rupa Vak Kritai Evam Leela Naravapur Nri Lokam Anushilayan Reme is to enjoy Go Gopa Gopinam Ramayam Rupa Vak Kritai. He enjoyed with his cows, cowherd boyfriends, cowherd girlfriends with his beauty, words and actions. So that's the essential characteristic of Krishna's pastime, that they display his the beauty of spiritual perfection. If we see all the pastimes in the 10th canto, the beauty of Krishna is explained. Just after the killing of any demon, the beauty of Krishna is displayed, is explained by Sukadeva Goswami. How Krishna was dancing, for example, how Krishna was dancing on the hoods of Kaliya. So the beautiful description of Krishna's beauty is explained. While he is killing a demon, is a secondary act for Krishna. It is just a side activity. The main thing is he is displaying his opulences, he is displaying his different potencies, and most important, he is displaying his beauty, which is most attractive. So therefore, here it is said that he enjoyed playing by his beauty, his words and actions. So therefore, that is the effect of Krishna's darshan, Krishna's beauty on the residents of Vrindavan and residents of even Mathura. As Krishna entered Mathura, the ladies, where they were so eager to see Krishna and Balram, they had heard of him, and now they were so eager that they completely mismanaged all their activities. There are 2-3 verses where it is explained that they were not able to put on their clothes properly, they were not able to make up properly, and they were completely in a state of confusion. That was the eagerness to see Krishna, that they completely forgot themselves. That means that level of Krishna conscious they were. Forgetting oneself means we have to remember someone. So they were in a such state of consciousness that they completely forgot that which garments were to be put where, or which earring has to be put in which ear. Completely they forgot themselves. They were completely absorbed in seeing Krishna. They have that much eagerness they had. And therefore, just by hearing, as we discussed, that hearing leads to attraction to the Supreme Person of Godhead. And then further it is explained that now they were actually seeing him. They were completely overwhelmed with happiness, and all their distress due to the absence was eradicated. So hearing definitely Krishna's pastimes will lead to attraction. And when one is attracted to the Supreme Person of Godhead, he will definitely experience an internal happiness, the happiness of the eternal soul, soul's relationship with the Supreme Person of Godhead. And when he experiences that pure love in relation with the Supreme Person of Godhead, practically he will be completely become transcendental, and that's what it says, that all their distress was completely eradicated. That is the culture of Krishna Bhakti. Prabhupada writes in 10th canto, one of the verses, purport, he says that Nanda and Yashoda, they never felt any tribulations, because Vrindavan was not an easy place to live in. Still today also it's not an easy place. But still they could not perceive any tribulations, because they were constantly engaged in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. That is the culture of Krishna Bhakti. They are completely engaged. And therefore, if we try to absorb ourselves in hearing the Supreme Personality of Godhead's name, fame, qualities, pastimes, then automatically we can say, get the strength to tolerate stress. Like to a sadhaka, on a sadhaka level, I can say, may not be overcome distress, but at least we can get for sadhaka level, one can get that tolerance level. He can attain that tolerance where he can handle that distress, stress or whatever is there on his level, whether it's on health level or mental level, whatever problem one is facing, he can able to handle those situations by developing tolerance. So hearing definitely will have an effect where we can get attracted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and by hearing continuously, developing attraction, we can definitely get that internal strength of tolerance. And that is how one can overcome the distress. Just like the ladies of Mathura, they were completely free from distress. Their distress was because of absence of Krishna. On a conditioned platform, it's very difficult to relate. To have a separation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's very difficult. But just by following in footsteps and hearing about them, we can develop that mood which the ladies of Mathura and the gopis of Vrindavan have. So therefore, the women of Mathura, then they exclaimed that what severe austerities the gopis must have performed, who regularly see Krishna and Balram, who are the greatest source of pleasure, mahotsavam, for all mankind. So seeing Krishna is actually festival to the eyes. Therefore we have beautiful darshan arati, Govinda Madhipurusham been played, and that's actually an historical, like it's a mark in the history that in ISKCON this such beautiful darshan arati takes place in all the temples all around the world, and it will be going on for now following coming years together, maybe 10,000 years or more. So that's the power of taking darshan of the Lord. It pleases the mind. Even if you are distressed or even if you are having so many problems, just taking the darshan of the Lord, at least for few minutes, you are relieved from the pain, relieved from that distress. So what to say of the gopis or the ladies of Vrindavan who are constantly meditating on the Lord? So definitely it's we can relate it to what they are saying. It's not something whimsical or something imaginary thing that this doesn't happen. Because we are so much absorbed in our own self, we forget immediately after the darshan, or maybe at least I can say for myself. But here, they are constantly meditating, constantly remembering, constantly singing the glories of the Lord. And therefore, constantly they are hearing and chanting. So therefore, they are constantly seeing the Lord in their heart. They are feeling the presence of their Lord in the heart. So therefore, the whole program which is designed by Srila Prabhupada, that we mold our lives in such a way that we constantly keep on hearing, chanting the glories of the Lord, simultaneously doing their activities. In one of the purports, Prabhupada writes that Vrindavan Vasis were not just meditators, sitting in a closed room and just meditating on the Lord whole day. They were Vaishyas, they were hard working Vaishyas. They were working in the fields, they were working with cows, milking, cleaning. They are not just meditating. But what they were doing during those activities, that is important. During those activities, they were constantly chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord. So therefore, those activities never became boring for them. In material world, anything we are told to do again and again, it becomes boring. We want new. The mind wants variety. If at least I can say, if someone tells me, yeah, you have to milk the cows for the rest of your life every day at 5 o'clock. I will think, yeah, something new should be there now after few days. Or that's the nature of the material mind. We cannot continue with the same thing. That's the eternal activity which they are doing. And they never get bored, or they never considered such activities hackneyed or boring or very tiresome. Why? Because the activities are done in proper consciousness, where the consciousness is maintained by hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. So therefore, there are five characteristics which are explained in 12th canto of the Krishna's pastimes. First characteristic of Krishna's pastimes, the words which describes Krishna and his pastimes, is they are attractive. Second is they are relishable, ruchiram. Third is they are fresh. The pastimes remain the same. Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled 5000 years back, and it is not something now every year the new edition is there. Some new things are incorporated. Oh, it was not there previously. Same shlokas are there, everything same, but still it is relishable. It becomes newer and newer. To the degree we become pure, the same shloka will be more relevant, and it will more touch the heart, and it will be more interesting, and it will be more relevant. So it is ever fresh. And this is most important characteristic, is manosa mahotsavam. It is festival for the mind. Yesterday, Shamanpur was very nicely explaining that the essence is that we always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. Engage our mind in thinking about Krishna. Man mana bhava madha bhakto, madha yaji mam namaskaro. Krishna says, man mana bhava. First thing is, engage your mind. Primary importance, first principle in devotional service. Even Srila Prabhupada writes in Nectar of Instructions preface, the first principle is controlling the mind and senses. Controlling the mind and senses, how we can control? By engaging the mind in thinking about Krishna. And therefore, it is perpetual festival for the mind. And they dry up the ocean of misery. That is the essential characteristics of Krishna's pastimes, that they dry up the ocean of shoka ranava, the miseries caused because of the material existence. So that's the effect of Lord's darshan, effect of seeing Lord's beauty. Even Akrura, when he saw the Vishnu form, it was discussed previously, in Yamuna, he also became extremely pleased. Seeing the Lord is very pleasing, pleasing to the eyes, pleasing to the mind. But that seeing has to be accompanied with hearing. Otherwise, what we will see? Just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur once said, what you will see, you are just having massage to your eyes, seeing the Lord. If you don't hear, simultaneously, then it will not have an effect. So therefore, even Akrura, when he saw, he was pleased, and completely, because he was extremely pleased, he was enthused. When you are pleased, you feel like doing something, you feel enthusiasm. When something is not pleasing, then you are not enthused to do something. So seeing the darshan of the, or taking darshan of the Lord, is pleasing to the mind. And when one is pleased, he is enthused to do something. So Akrura was enthused with devotion when he saw the Vishnu form. And when he saw the Vishnu form, he had developed that much of enthusiasm that completely he went into ecstasy, hair standing on his end. And he completely folded his hands and started offering beautiful prayers. So the whole section of prayers of Akrura is there. Beautiful prayers which he was offering. So therefore, that is the essential characteristic of Krishna's pastimes, which are given in the 10th canto, that they create astonishment. The cowherd boyfriends, the gopis, when they hear, they are completely surprised. Here also, they are the ladies of Mathura, they are saying, how could Krishna and Balaram can fight with these two wrestlers, Chanur and Mushtik? There is so much of difference in age, there is so much of difference in strength, external strength, of course. Krishna were just tender age, and Chanu and Mushtik were very professional wrestlers. So completely they were unaware of Krishna's strength. And because of that, it was a very surprising thing. It creates astonishment. Because astonishment is created because it is something beyond our imagination, what we can perceive, what we can understand. So therefore, what is beyond our imagination or our understanding can only be understood by the mercy of the Lord. And if we have proper attitude towards the Lord. Two things are needed. Things to be understood which are beyond our imagination can only be understood if we have proper attitude and if we get the proper mercy of the Supreme Lord and His devotees. It is wonderfully explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in Adilila, that by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, even a foolish child can fully describe the real nature of Lord Krishna, the enjoyer of the pastimes. Shri Chaitanya Prasadena Tad Rupasya Vinirnayan Balo Api Kurute Shastram Drushtva Vraja Vilasina. Lord Krishna, being the absolute truth, cannot be exposed to the mundane instruments of vision. He reserves the right not to be exposed by the intellectual feats of non-devotees. Notwithstanding this truth, even a small child can easily understand Supreme Lord Shri Krishna and His transcendental pastimes in the land of Vrindavan by the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, entering Krishna Lila, we need to have the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Without the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we cannot enter into Krishna Lila. Therefore, Krishna is descended in Kali Yuga in form of Lord Chaitanya. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through His example, His bhakta avatar in a form of a devotee, though He is Supreme Personality of Godhead, in a form of a devotee, He is showing that attitude with which we approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, His devotees, His pastimes. And therefore, without the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's impossible. Therefore, it is said, things which are difficult to do become easy with the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And then, but if one doesn't remember Him, even things that are easy, they become difficult. So therefore, with proper attitude and mercy of the Lord, that is Supreme Personality of Godhead, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna Himself, we can actually enter into these pastimes and understand what actually this affection of the Vrajagopis or the ladies of Mathura have for Krishna. In Chaitanya Charitamrit, while instructing Sanatan Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains the different opulences, potencies and the beauty, the sweetness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Series of verses, the whole chapter, Madhya Lila, the opulence and sweetness of Lord Krishna. If you read, actually I went through it, it gives so much of what you call as rasa. Many times your devotion service, it becomes dry. Like you do your chanting, you do your services, one doesn't develop that ras. But Krishna's pastimes and particularly Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, they are full of this mellow. They give a lot of hope and actually you relish. Very beautifully explained in a poetry form. Of course, I am not good in Bengali. I will not read those shlokas, but some translations I would like to read before we conclude. So there, while explaining to Sanatan Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says to Sanatan Goswami, Krishnera Madhura Rupa Suna Sanatan Ye Rupera Eka Kana Dubai Sarva Sabha Tribhuvan. He says, my dear Sanatan, the sweet, attractive, transcendental form of Krishna is so nice. Just try to understand it. Even a fractional understanding of Krishna's beauty can merge all the three worlds in the ocean of love. He even attracts Sarva Prani Kare Akarshan. He attracts all living entities within the three worlds. So, while explaining the beauty, he starts with the explanation that the beauty of Supreme Lord Krishna is such attractive that even Krishna is getting attracted to it. That is the essential characteristic of Krishna's beauty. That Krishna Himself gets attracted to Him. That is the beauty of Supreme Lord Krishna. Then he explains about the ornaments of the Supreme Lord. Bhushanera Bhushana Anga. He says the ornaments caress his body, but the transcendental body of Krishna is so beautiful that it beautifies the ornaments he wears. Therefore, Krishna's body is said to be ornament of ornaments. So the beauty of ornaments is increased when Krishna puts the ornaments. It's not that Krishna becomes beautiful by putting the ornaments. The ornaments are actually beautified because Krishna himself is beautiful. So Krishna is called ornament of ornaments. So that's the beauty of Krishna. And then he explains the Tribhanga form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, threefold bending form. And then he says, among all the attractive features of the Supreme Lord, the most important are the eyes of Krishna. He says, above all these beautiful features, Krishna's eyes dance and move obliquely, acting like arrows to pierce the eyes of Srimati Radharani and the gopis. When the arrow succeeds in hitting the target, their minds become agitated. So that's the power of Krishna's darshan, seeing Krishna's beautiful eyes. Then he further explains that the beauty of Krishna is so attractive that it attracts not only demigods, but even Narayan in Vaikuntha is attracted to Lord Krishna. Even Lakshmi Devi, who are eternal consorts of Lord Narayan, they are also attracted to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. Further he says that Krishna rides on the chariots of the minds of the gopis. And that is how he receives loving service of the gopis. And therefore he is called as, one of the name is, he attracts the minds, their minds like Cupid. Madana Mohan, Krishna is Madana Mohan. And in series of verses, he further explains about Krishna's beauty. And then he concludes that section where he says, Lord Chaitanya recites this beautiful verse from the ninth canto. Conclusion of ninth canto, where tenth canto is going to begin. This beautiful verse, that all men and women are accustomed to enjoying the beauty of the Supreme Personality, shining face of Lord Krishna, which is decorated with sharp-set earrings swinging along his ears. His beautiful features, his cheeks and his playful smiles all combine to form a constant festival for the eyes, Mahotsavam. And the blinking of the eyes become obstacles that impede one from seeing that beauty. For this reason, men and women become angry at the Creator. Yasya nana makara kundala charu karna brajat kapola subhaga sa vilasa hasam nityot samam sa tatpur drushibi pivantyo naryo narascha mudita kupita nimasche. Nityot sam, it is a festival for the eyes, and therefore the blinking of eyes is considered as a they become angry at the Creator, that why the Lord has created blinking, because it's waste of time. When you blink, you cannot see the Lord for that fraction of a second. So that's the level of attraction one has to see the Lord. Therefore it is said nityotsavam, eternal joy. Not utsav. Utsav is a festival. Nityotsav is eternal festival. So that's the characteristic of Krishna's pastimes. They are eternal. Krishna giving darshan is an eternal activity. Provided we have the eyes to see him. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. Krishna is standing. Gopinath, Radha Gopinath is giving darshan since his appearance. But if we have that eyes, then it will be relevant. That darshan is relevant to us. And then he says, Krishna's body is city of all attractive features. And it is sweeter than sweet. But above that, his face is more attractive. And above that, his smile is the most attractive. So everything is maduram, sweet. But still there is, something is better than this thing. Like Krishna's body is, Krishna whole transcendental future form is beautiful, no doubt about it. But his face The then canto is the culmination. But in the face also, his smile is considered the sweetest. And Krishna is always smiling. He's never morose. He's always having a smiling face. Why is he smiling? I just thought, I think, I don't know whether it's a speculation. Maybe it's my speculation. But I think, why Krishna is smiling? Because he's seeing and smiling us. You fools, what are you doing here? Come, play with me. I'm awarding you eternal life. Why are you involved in sense gratification? So Krishna, seeing our foolishness, is smiling always. What did we understand the intent of the smile? So that's the Krishna's smile is all about. And then to conclude, just 2 minutes I'll take, the sound of Krishna's flute. The sound of Krishna's flute is such powerful that he spreads in all directions. It is said, the sweetness of the smile, it enters into the flute. And therefore the flute which Krishna plays is also becomes sweet. It is explained, the vibration enters the, it especially enters, just 1 minute, yeah. His light smiling and fragrant illumination are compared to camphor, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. His smiling is compared to camphor, which enters the sweetness of his lips. That sweetness is transformed and enters into space as vibrations from the holes of the flute. And that flute, when the cowherd boyfriends, cowherd girlfriends, or the cows also, when they hear, it has such a transcendental effect on them. Just like Krishna plays his flute and calls all the cows. Exactly. Krishna, that's the beauty of Krishna's flute. And very hope-giving purport, Prabhupada writes, the vibration of his flute is just like a bird that creates a nest within the ears of the gopis. And it always remains prominent there, not allowing any other sound to enter. Indeed, the gopis cannot hear anything else, nor are they able to concentrate on anything else, not even to give a suitable reply. Such are the effects of vibrations of Lord Krishna's flute. And Prabhupada gives here, he says that constant remembrance of the holy name, holy sound of Krishna's flute, keeps them enlightened and enlivened. And they do not allow any other sound to enter their ears. Since their attention is fixed on Krishna's flute, they cannot divert their minds to any other object. In other words, a devotee who has heard the sound of Krishna's flute forgets to talk or hear any other subject. This vibration of Krishna's flute is represented by Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. To end one important sentence, a serious devotee of the Lord who chants and hears the transcendental vibration becomes so accustomed to it that he cannot divert his attention to any subject matter not related to Krishna's blissful characteristics and paraphernalia. So when we chant actually the holy name, we hear so many sounds. Sounds of the mind, sounds of many things go on when we chant. And therefore, that's the difference, essential difference between a conditioned soul and a pure devotee. That the gopis, the effect of the Krishna's flute, they have created a nest in the ears. They cannot hear any other thing than Krishna's beautiful name, fame, qualities, pastimes. But when we chant, we have so many sounds coming up. But if we keep on, therefore Prabhupada writes, if we are serious about chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, then definitely we can overcome all of those sounds which are always bombarding thoughts of sense gratification, thoughts of doing things against the Supreme Personality of Godhead or any other thing. Desire to enjoy separately, that's the greatest obstacle. That's the greatest obstacle to attain love of God, that to desire to enjoy separately from the Lord. That's the greatest obstacle. And that sound is actually disturbing our mind. So when we sincerely and seriously try to chant the holy name of the Lord, then actually we can stop all other sounds. That's the effect of Krishna's flute, Krishna's holy name. So therefore here it is beautifully explained that that's the, therefore Krishna performs his beautiful pastimes in Vrindavan, and therefore this land of Vrindavan is considered pious because Krishna performs his beautiful pastimes, his loving exchanges with his devotees. So therefore, if we develop that particular mood, if we understand this particular section and try to follow, try to be attentive in chanting, then actually what's the conclusion of Bhagavatam? That we can attain that love of God by hearing, by taking darshan, shravanat, darshanat, dhyanat, meditation, and sankirtanat, by doing always chanting and glories of the Lord. That is the conclusion. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam.